You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
We are in a series called We Are the Church, and today I'm going to do something. We did it first service. Whoa, there goes all my notes. It didn't go too bad, so we're going to try it again second service, but never done this in the last 18 years that I've been the pastor. We're going to have a little conversation here in a minute, a little, interview with me. But let's remind ourselves where we've been, where we've got today, and then next week we'll wrap up the series. We've been in this series for now 7 or 8 weeks, and we've been reminding ourselves who we are. Church, we are a Spirit-filled church. Everyone say that with me, a Spirit-filled church. That's an important distinction. Committed to glorifying God by connecting the people of the Lakeshore with God, with each other, with the world. This is who we are. When you say, hey, I'm going to be a part of the Gateway Church, this is what you're saying. All right, we're going to be a part of this. We're going to do these things. And we're becoming a healthy, multiplying church known for making an impact in our community, in our world. That's our vision statement. And part of that being healthy is the emotionally healthy relationships that we've committed to, class, that is going to pour blessing into your life. We have 12 core values at the Gateway Church. We've been talking about those in sets of three. The first three are the foundation: God's Word, worship, and prayer. And we are going to highlight God's Word. We're going to spend time in worship and then prayer. How many are grateful for our prayer time on Sunday mornings where we can just press in and we can leave our concerns at the altar? I love that. The next three are relationships, outreach, and passion. We want to do and to exemplify things with enthusiasm. That's the passion. Our outreach speaks for itself, and relationships are important. Again, another tie to emotionally healthy relationships. And today, there are three more core values that I want to touch on briefly, and you'll see it even in the message. The first one is generosity. I believe that we can be generous on every occasion. So how's that possible? Well, we were created in the image of God. It says here that giving our best as we model God's nature. When God created you, he put inside of your DNA the ability to be generous. Next, he says, we're equipped, and we are equipped. Again, these are the core values that keep us moving in the right direction. It's like the banks of a river. And we, as your pastors, and we got four on staff now and some other team members, we are not the ones doing the work of the ministry, although some people get that flipped around. No, we are called to equip you and release you. We are the church, and I want to do that, and there's areas of giftedness that we want to tap into in your life. And then the third is stewardship. And again, we'll talk about stewardship a little bit today as well, but utilizing God's resources responsibly. These things are important. We have three more. We'll finish those out next week, and we'll do that. For those that are new, whether you've missed a week or two, throughout the season or throughout the series, I want to review just briefly, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to come, and he's going to grill me for the rest of the time, or just be nice. He's going to interview me. But we said in the series that we are the church in the first week, so we give up our rights. It's like, what? Are you sure that's right? Yes. And we give up our rights. It starts with this humility that we are going to lay aside our personal preferences for the sake of reaching one more. And so we're going to give up our rights. And I promise you, when you give up your rights, it will bless you. You will be blessed when you do. The next one is that we're going to pick up our ministries, right? And we get to do this. We get to work together. We're equipping you to be a part, and we all get to be used by God. And when we show up, or when we do that, that will cause a blessing in your life. The third one is that we're going to show up to church, and we don't just show up for ourselves and enjoy worship and get filled up, although that is a blessing in itself. We are also here for everyone around us. You are here for those that you're sitting by. Just take a quick look around to your left, to your right, in front of you. Look behind you. I know it's scary, but you are here for someone else. We also said that because we're the church, we're going to cheer up our brothers and sisters. We talked about Barnabas, and we're going to lift up each other. We're going to say it. If we feel something to say, that's positive. If we feel like there's something we should do and we have the ability to do it, we're going to do it. And I promise you, when you cheer up someone else, you will be blessed in return. Then last week, Pastor Bobby preached a hard message, I think, backing up your pastor. I didn't want to preach it, but he did a great job, and is a message about authority in our lives. And it's not just being the pastor that he's backing up. It's about backing up our teachers and our parents and our, you know, our military and police officers and even the DNR. And I don't have time to share any bad stories there. Authority. I was going to bring in an umbrella, and because when you back up your pastor, it's like you're living under an umbrella of protection. And you know it's going to rain, but you just get a little less wet when you're close. That's a weird illustration. That's not going anywhere. Sorry. But I promise you, when you back up your leaders and you're living under authority, it's a blessing. And then today, we have one more that we're going to talk about. We're going to offer up our tithes because we are the church. And some of you don't even know what a tithe is. We're going to explain what that is. But again, it's another blessing in your life. I say that this will result in breathing life into whatever circumstance you're in. And for the church to properly function, we need your tithes. It's not for you, or it's not for the church as much as it is for you. And we'll talk about that. And I've talked about tithing over the 18 years that I've been here. It's kind of like a Christmas series. You know, you're like the same thing over and over. And I was looking at my notes from the last time I preached. It was last February. We talked about tithing. And I promise you, I looked at my notes and I'm like, it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, it was so good. It was probably the best message I've ever preached on tithing. And so because of that, we're going to post that. It's already, you can get there today if you go to our website and go to media. It is the very top. But tomorrow we're going to post that, and I would encourage you to listen to the entirety of that message. But because of the, you know, the fact that it's, you know, you don't want to hear the same message from last year, we thought we'd do something a little creative. And so I've asked Pastor Sean to help me, and we're going to interact with this little card. Everyone should have one in your hand. Everyone just flash it at me. Let me make sure everyone's got one. All right, excellent. And this is going to provide a basis or a foundation, I should say, for the message. And let's just get at it, all right? We got, we're running a couple minutes behind, so we'll make it snappy. All right, first verse here is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test.
Yeah, Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine.
Seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What a promise.
Yeah, in Exodus, it says, as you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God.
Luke 6:38, give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back.
And it says in Leviticus 1/10, which is the actual meaning of tithe, it says 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy.
The next two chapters, Genesis 14 and Genesis 28, This is pre-law. We should have probably put a note in there, but it's an important distinction. The first story is about giving a tenth to Melchizedek, priest of Salem, and then also Jacob, after he wrestled with God at Bethel, he gave a tenth of everything he had to the Lord.
Yeah, in 2 Corinthians, it says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully.
And lastly, 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. All right, so that's a foundation, biblical foundation of what it means to tithe and maybe why. The first reason why we would give a tithe is because it's in Scripture, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll preface this today. Giving and tithing is hard. It's not easy. And when it comes to the church, it's almost like the stigma the church has on, like, every time I go to the church, they talk about money. Well, in the past 3 years or 3.5 years I've been on staff, we've only talked about tithing 3 times, and I was actually one of those times. And I'll also say this, that we're not talking about this today as a response of we're struggling as a church. We actually had our best giving year ever here at the History of the Gateway Church here in 2024. So this isn't in response to that. This is a response of saying this is part of our series, but we want you to steward your finances well. And so just getting to the first question here, growing up, you were taught to tithe. So tell us about your family's commitment to tithing and how that has affected your family's journey with Jessica and even the kids.
All right. So the Vase, some of you have heard my grandpa's story. When my grandma and grandpa decided to give, and that was in a previous message. In fact, the one that you're going to go listen to tomorrow, this week, it's in there. But anyway, so I grew up, my parents, they said, hey, if you're living under our household, we're going to be givers. We're going to tithe to the Lord. And so it was just kind of like a rule that I followed. I was pretty compliant mostly. And so that was something that I learned to do at a very young age. I even started a little business when I was 13 years old. And I've shared the story before. I had a column that once I had my profit, I gave a tithe, and then I checked that off, and then I knew that I was done with those funds. Jessica came from a household, same situation. In fact, Jerry and Jerry are sitting right behind her. Welcome back, guys. Jerry was in the hospital for a couple weeks as well. We're glad that you're here. Senor, I should say. I call him senor and senorita. Someone said I should have been senora, but I'm staying with senorita. It's a term of endearment. But anyway, Jessica kind of had the same growing up. And so once we were married, 19 and 20 years old, we had the opportunity, like, all right, what are we going to do with our money? And it was important to us. It had been modeled to us. And so we determined that we were going to do the same. And so we tithed all of our married life. And when we had kids, we taught our kids like I was taught, like we were taught. And so we said the same thing. If you're going to be living under our roof, we want you to tithe. And then we also added, we believed in missions, and we modeled that, and we are giving above and beyond our tithe. And so we told our kids, you have to do something for missions. It can be very small, but you have to do something, because we're the Vase. We care about missions. And it's been a blessing.
Yeah, and so you kind of highlighted above and beyond there. So what is the difference then between a tithe and an offering?
Yeah. So tithe is, by the nature of its word, the word, it's 10%. You can't tithe 5% or 8% or 2%. A tithe means 10%. Okay. And so then it's your tithing off of any of your increase. And so then above and beyond that are offerings, all right? And so the way I describe offerings, that would include benevolence, that would include missions, you know, faith promise giving, that would include we're raising money for the addition to add on to the church here. Those would be all offerings above and beyond your tithe.
And with the scripture we just read, a lot of the scripture talked about bringing in fruit and foods and produce. How come we don't do that here at the Gateway Church? Why don't we have like an assembly line of fruits and veggies coming in? And
I mean, I think we should. I don't know why we don't. No, I mean, if you want to bring in fruit, raspberries, blackberries, strawberries, blueberries, I'll take it, right? Yeah. No, don't do that. So the scripture, especially in Malachi, like bring your first fruits, or in Deuteronomy, or we saw it in Leviticus, that was in an agricultural environment. People were, you know, making that. That's how they lived, was off the land, and so that was specific for them. And so really, when they would bring their fruit, their first fruits, they were bringing their resources and laying that, you know, giving that to the church, to the Levites, and to the temple, those types of things. So we don't do that. Any farmers in the room? Anybody farmer? All right, yeah, farmer. All right, so we got one farmer. So very few in our culture. Most of us, when we get paid, we're getting a paycheck for the work that we've done, and we would call that your fruit, the fruit of your labor. And so we would say, based off of any increase in that way, you give 10%.
Yeah, and then, so what would you say to the person then who says, tithing is a Old Testament thing, it's not really a New Testament thing, so therefore I don't participate in it? What would you say to that person?
Yeah, and I've definitely heard this, and maybe you've said this before, and I would respectfully just challenge you that tithing is biblical, number one. We've read a lot of scripture that talks about giving tithe specifically. I also included Genesis 14 and 28. You can read the stories. That was pre-law. That means before the Ten Commandments, before the law, there were examples of people honoring the Lord with a tenth, and specifically a tenth. And then if you fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus talks about it. It's very small, but it's there, where he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says to the Pharisees, essentially, you are following the law, you're giving a tenth, you're tithing, but neglecting some of the bigger things, and like love and grace and others. And so he's challenging them. And then he says, you should tithe, but you should definitely be doing these. And I would say tithing is not the most important thing. I would say it's an important thing, but Jesus didn't say, hey, this is the most important thing. He highlighted justice and love and caring for the poor and those things for sure.
And how does then tithing line up to the whole idea of stewardship? Because tithing is underneath the umbrella of stewardship. Yeah. So how does it fit into the entirety of stewardship?
Yeah, so, I mean, we tithe 10%, but that doesn't mean that the 90% is just a free-for-all. I will also say, Pastor Bobby reminded me between services, that just because someone tithes, that doesn't mean they're off the hook and they don't need to serve or to be involved in other ways. It's part of the whole picture when we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus. We give everything, right? And so the 10% is an important piece. It's the start. And then the 90%, we get to manage. We need to steward that well. And we talk about financial responsibility here a lot at the Gateway Church. We talk about using our 90%. We want to be on a budget. We want to live on less than what we make. We model that as a church, as a rule, and we would encourage every family to do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to your story in the beginning, you talked about there were benefits in tithing. Can you speak to that just a little bit? What are some of the benefits of tithing?
Yeah, first of all, it says, all right, God, this is all yours. It's like this statement, like, all right, God, every resource that I have is yours. And so it honors God. And when you honor God, there's blessings spiritually, but there are also, you reap the benefit that you know, where you sow, you're going to reap. And when you give a tenth and you're honoring God, in our story, like we... It's almost hard to pinpoint, but I'll say the Vase, we are blessed because we have given and been faithful in our tithes. And the way that looks, it looks like maybe our clothes last a little bit longer, our shoes or the tires on our car, or maybe we avoid, you know, some sort of disaster. Now, that doesn't mean we haven't had trouble and setbacks for sure, but as a rule, we are blessed and God has taken care of our family and our needs and really far beyond, wouldn't you say, Jess?
Yeah, just to flip it a little bit, we've talked about a lot of benefits. We've kind of talked about some biblical foundation. Now let's talk about the other side of it. Is God mad at me if I don't tithe?
Let's take a poll. Anybody think God is mad at you if you don't tithe? Maybe you've been taught that. Listen, there's a lot of grace in this topic. There's this principle that I understand, according to Scripture, that there's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. And I would say that applies to our giving as well. And so there's a lot of grace here. God is not mad at you. He loves you. It's not a salvation issue. It's not a we're better than. It's just a principle that as a church, we encourage for you to honor the Lord and to do that with the first 10%.
Yeah, I think that's huge in understanding, because I think a lot of times in general, we kind of put pressure on ourselves in our walk with God. And I think this is an area we also put pressure on ourselves as well. Like, we feel like it's one of those things, if I don't do it, then God's going to strike me down. And there is a lot of grace with the subject.
I would also say sometimes there's a lot of shame. Like, if you haven't been tithing, or maybe you tried it once and then you fell off, and it's like, oh, man, how could I get back? Or, you know, does God, is he mad at me? And I'll just say, Jesus, our Heavenly Father, he's crazy about you, just the way you are. And his love for you is complete, no matter what.
Yeah, and on this, I've often heard the phrase, if you're not tithing, you're robbing from God, or you're stealing from God.
Yeah.
How would you respond to a statement like that?
Well, I think Malachi, it's right before the first verse on there, Malachi 3:10. I think Malachi, or just a few verses before that, says, will a man rob God, right? And it says you're robbing in your tithes and offerings. And so there is a principle. And I will often say that tithing is not giving or generosity. It's just not stealing. And because of the principle in Scripture. And so that, I mean, but again, we hold that loosely. It's not a hard and fast rule.
Yeah, absolutely. How would you, let's say we have someone or people who have a lot of debt going on. Should they still tithe, and should they still give an offering if they're dealing with a lot of debt in their lives?
It's a great question. The indebtedness in our church, I'm sure, is typical. Mm-hmm. That there are people in the church that have debt. And I would say, I would encourage anyone that is in debt to tithe to honor God, to make that a priority. And I would say it is an absolute, like, super rare exception where you can't even afford the food to put on the table, or, you know, proper shelter. In those cases, you know, God's not going to be mad at you if you are eating instead of giving to the church. The church doesn't need your money anyway. But I will say that when it comes to offerings, and this is something we don't talk about a lot, but if you are in debt, offerings, when you look at it in Scripture, is almost always out of surplus, above and beyond. So you tithe, and then you're taking care of the four walls, your food, you know, clothing, you know, shelter, basic transportation, and then you're taking care of the needs in your family. And then above and beyond that, as the Lord provides, then you give an offering. There's only a couple examples. The widow's mite is one example where she gave everything she had and Jesus acknowledged her. But that is a rare exception of generosity where it's sacrificial. And I'm not saying God doesn't call us to sacrificial giving at times, but it should be out of surplus.
Yeah, you kind of highlighted something there, which kind of led to a different question, which was, is there ever a time where you would say it's okay not to tithe, so not to give your 10%. You kind of talked about the four walls there. Yeah. Could you elaborate on
that? Yeah. So again, I think it's very, very rare. If you didn't have the funds for basic food and basic shelter, basic transportation, I would say at that point it would be very rare. Look, if you have a job, you can take care of those basics. But even in those cases, I would say tithe. It would be very, very rare where you didn't even have the basics covered. And in that case, you shouldn't be starving or starving your kids, but being faithful in your tithes.
Yeah, so that's not saying, like, it's taking care of the basics. So it's not spending $300 at Starbucks, right? And then coming back and saying, oh, I can't tithe.
Right.
This is saying, I'm going to take care of this.
Yeah.
And then tithe.
It's a great example. My grandpa gave a story of when him and my grandma first started tithing. This is, you know, years and years ago, and you'll hear it if you listen to the message I preached last week or last year, which I'd encourage you to do. He says when they decided to give, they were in debt and they had some medical debt, and basically they said, we're going to honor God. And then the doctors, and I know we got some doctors in the room, sorry about this, the doctors will get paid over time, but they're going to honor God first. And so they gave less to the doctors. They did get it paid off, but that's the way they saw that. And I would encourage that.
And just to kind of nail this a little bit more, is it a lack of faith if you're trying to take care of the four walls first?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
We're called to take care of our families.
Yeah.
Right? That's a priority.
Yeah.
And so I think if you don't have the four walls covered, you know, but then anything beyond that, you know, then you start tithing.
Yeah. So it's almost this idea of how it fits into this whole vision of stewardship in general, right?
Yeah.
And let's just go to a different moment as well. We found a stat that said 5% of Americans tithe 10% to the local church or religious organizations. 12% of born-again Christians tithe, and this is a 2023 stat. And so based on that stat alone, where would you say, and again, you're a pastor, you don't see giving statements, we don't really handle money as pastors, and so where would you say, it's a hard question to ask, but where would you say the Gateway Church lines up to that stat? Are we above it? Are we below it? Are we right at it?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the stat just is 5% of Americans would give a 10% to a religious organization. Then there's a distinction on that study that we were talking about earlier this week that 12% of born-again believers, so a little over double, so 12%. That's one out of 10 people, essentially, give a tithe living in America. That's a pretty low stat. And how do we do here? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know who gives, who doesn't give. And I want to be able to treat you well, whether you're a tither or not. I want to challenge you in that. I want you to feel loved. Whether you give a little or a lot, that is a priority. But I will say, tonight we're going to look at our overall tithes and offerings, you know, undesignated gifts to the Gateway Church. And for a congregation, if we're averaging about 200 families, if you AI it or ChatGPT, ask Google, what's the median household income in West Michigan? You can find out those numbers, and it's, you know, it varies who you're asking. But if you multiplied that or took 10% of that, I would say that we are grossly under. I don't believe we are 100% or even close to that. I think it's probably 3 to 4 times our annual income would be 3 to 4 times larger if everyone was faithful in their tithes. That's my, just my gut feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would agree with that. Just based on the stat and based on that medium household income, I think those are great things to look at on where your church could be. So what would you say to the person in the room then who says, I've never tithed and I don't know where to start? How would they start tithing?
Yeah, great question. I would say, first of all, you don't have to go back. There's a lot of grace here.
Yeah.
And so I said first service, like if you haven't eaten in a couple of days and then all of a sudden you have a meal in front of you, you don't eat 3 days worth of meals in that one meal, all right? And so with tithing, I would say it's the same. If you haven't been tithing, you don't have to go back. But moving forward, I would challenge you to honor God with the first fruits of your increase. And I would try it. It just like Malachi 3:10, give it a try. And there are some churches, I've heard some pastors that say, hey, try for 3 months. If you're not better off, then we'll give you your money back. We're not playing that game. But listen, trust God's word. Give it a try. And it's not for the church's benefit. We don't need your money. We want you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And part of that is you understanding that your finances, it's a spiritual part of your, it'll help you grow in the Lord when you honor him first.
Yeah.
So I would say just start.
Yeah, just start.
Yeah, start. Like, you know, before you spend any other money, give your tithe, make that a priority, and then work on the rest of your budget.
Yeah, I think it's, honestly, it's similar to many different areas in our life. Like, if you're struggling knowing how to pray, just start.
Yeah.
If you're struggling on being a good steward of your health, just start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is one of those areas where it just fits right in. Just start tithing and watch how God blesses you.
Yeah.
Mary, you can go ahead and come up to the piano. A couple more questions, and we'll kind of, you know, land the plane some. I've heard this phrase before of kind of, your money will show you your priorities in life. How would you respond to a statement like that, that your money, that your spending shows you your priorities?
Yeah, I think it's true. I think if any of us had full transparency on the way we spend money, we probably all have areas that are a little embarrassing. let's just be honest. Or it'll reveal what you are into. If you're into antique cars, you're going to invest your time and money. If you're into your style, you're going to put money into that. If you're into, you know, if we went out in the parking lot, looked at everyone's vehicles, you know, some of you care more about that than others, right? That's for sure. Just this week, Jessica and I, we order pizza about once a week or so. We go to Hungry Howie's, and literally the guy, he picks up. I'm like, oh, that's Daryl. And he's like, oh, Ben V. He says, gluten-free? And I said, yep. And so we have this little interaction every week. And so I was there, and I said, hey, Daryl, how long have you been there now? How long have you been working at Hungry Howie's? And he says, oh, just over a year. And I said, how many times do you think we've ordered pizza? And he says, I don't know, but I can check. And he pulled it up. Since Hungry Howie's in Grand Haven has been there a couple years now, we've been there 77 times. Yeah. We like pizza. It's like, oh, man, that's a lot of pizza. But anyway, but I think if you open up your checkbook, you can tell what you're into. And for me and my household, and Logan is in the room, and Reagan, when she lived under our household, we were going to honor God with the first fruits. And you can see it in our budget. It's the first thing. And that's a priority. And I think that's a good thing. And so, yeah, I would agree with you. Like, yeah, if you show me your finances, how you spend your money, I'll show you what's important to you.
Yeah, and I would say there's a lot of truth to that. Like, I know Renissa and I, a couple years back before we moved here, we were looking over our finances, like, where's some of our money going? And we realized we're spending $500 at Starbucks a month, which is crazy. And we did some adjustments there, of course, to make it go down. And but it was just a wild, when you examine your finances, you're going to find out things, you know? And and that was something we found out. Let's switch gears, ask one more question, and then we'll do one more thing and kind of close it.
Yeah.
There's some students in the room. There's some parents in the rooms. First question is, what would you say to a student who has no job? And some of our students have jobs.
Yeah.
What would you say to a student? How can they start tithing?
Yeah. I think you start tithing when you have an income. Like, I mean, you can give, like, if you get, you know, an allowance, you can give even on top of that. But if, once you start working and you have money coming in, the priority should be to give and to honor God with the first. And I would challenge any person, young to the oldest among us, to do it. I think it's just a principle to live by. And I would then say to the parents, parents in the room, first of all, you need to model this, but then you need to impress on your kids that this is something that's important. And it's not for the benefit of the church, it's for the benefit of your family, for your kids to learn to live on less. So when we were, you know, when Logan and Reagan were young, they could do three things with their money. We were going to give, and we talked about tithing and a little bit to missions, and then we're going to save after that. We're not going to spend every dollar, so we save. And so if they made $10, they're going to give a dollar to the church, and then maybe another dollar for missions, and then they're going to put a couple dollars in savings, and then they can spend and do that. And that is just a healthy way. You never want to spend all of the resources that you get. And that's just a principle that a lot of people don't understand in general. But man, when you spend more than what you have coming in, it just causes a lot of trouble. And indebtedness is a real big problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a random question that I thought of. What does tithing help you care about a place more? How do you answer that question? Does tithing make you care about the Gateway Church more?
Probably. I think, you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's what the scripture says, right? And so if your treasure is in antique cars, you know that's where your heart is. You know, for me, you know, I spend some money on fitness, and that's important to me. And you can see in my budget that there's some money going there, and I enjoy that. I enjoy that experience, right?
Yeah.
So I know you do the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, yeah, I think so. When you give to the church, I think your heart will grow for the church as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, when you give, you want to see this place flourish. You want to see God move in this place.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to see God's spirit move. You want people to be saved.
Yes.
And I think there's just so much power in saying, you know what? This is my church home, and so I'm going to invest in it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a powerful thought there as well. So to close this out, man, if you could challenge the Gateway Church, how would you challenge us today?
Yeah. I mean, we've been thinking about this, and this idea even to do this interview. Let us know what you thought. We're curious. This is the first time I've ever done this. But we have this to encourage you. I want us to do something together. If you give a little fold at the bottom and you fold it twice, and everyone, I want to go ahead and grab yours. We're going to rip this together on the count of three. We want you to keep the top as a biblical foundation, and you can tuck that in your Bible. You can kind of refer back to that. But on the count of three, let's rip these together, all right? All right, you guys ready? One, let's see how loud it can be. Three, two, one. Ooh, that was nice. What we want to do is encourage you, when we talk about offering up our tithes, There's a tagline in our membership class that we say that we're being committed to being a good steward by making tithing a priority in our finances. And we just want to encourage you to join us in that and just see if God doesn't pour out a blessing that you can't even contain. And so what we did, we created this little commitment card, and this is for you to fill out, to check, saying, yeah, I want to commit to be a good steward. And then you'll sign it. And what we're going to do today in a moment is we're going to, before we leave, there are giving receptacles at the back of the congregation or back of the sanctuary, out in the lobby, even in the kids area. And we want you just to drop that in. And again, this is for you. We are going to gather these and we're going to throw them away. We're not coming after you. This is just a symbol saying, all right, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to make a commitment. And then you keep this portion and as a reminder, and then we encourage you to make it a regular part of your budget. And you can give online, you can give in all the different ways, but to make it a priority. And so, if I had an opportunity to sit with each and every one of you, I would lean in and I'd say, give it a try. See if it doesn't work. And I would do that with every single one, young and old. And that's what we're going to do. So I want you, I forget what we did for service. Help me out. How did we do it?
I'll ask one more question.
Okay.
Does it make you a better Christian if you do this?
No, just better looking. No, I'm just kidding. No, of course. Yeah. Again, it's not a salvation issue. It's not elitist.
Yeah.
There's a lot of grace here. But it does, I promise you, it will pour blessing into your life. Yeah.
Yeah, so first service, you had to stand up, prayed over it, then you did a dismissal prayer.
Okay, that's right. All right, before we stand, I want you to just interact with this. We'll give you a moment. And I'm going to pray that the Lord would just put on our hearts to do something. For some of you, this will be a continuation of what you've already been doing. No problem. For some of you, you may have committed in the past, fallen off, and you're saying, all right, I'm going to recommit. For some of you, you never even heard or ever heard that this was a thing, and you're saying, all right, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust my pastors. I'm going to be under their authority. I'm going to give this a shot. And however you do that, Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, challenge us in this moment for your glory, for your honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now, let's stand. And what I want to do is they'll give you a chance to knock this off. Say, all right, I'm going to give this a try. You can sign it. And again, we're not coming after you. We're not even going to look at the names. You can scribble your own signature. We won't even know. No one knows my signature except Jessica. But and then we want you to put that in the giving receptacles if you're inclined to do so. Let me pray a prayer of benediction, and then that's how we're going to close. And Lord, I just pray that you would seal this moment. Lord, thank you for challenging us in a unique fashion to be faithful, to honor you with the first portion of everything that comes our way. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the challenge. And God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, help us to respond now appropriately. And Lord, as I often pray, Lord, that you would go before us, behind us, and all around us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. We love you so much. Thank you for being here. Go in the grace of God.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.